Tonight about some reasons why we should be optimistic about the future prospects of evangelism and growth of the Lord's church. Now, it might come a shock to some of you, but I was not around in the 40s or 50s. This is a Photoshop picture, if you can't tell. I wasn't really there. I have heard about how great of a time it was, those years were, for the Lord's church. Legend has it that you could go door knocking, and on the very first door, they would invite you in for tea and cake and a Bible study. You could hold a 21-day gospel meeting with standing room only every single day and get 100 baptisms each night. Now, maybe it wasn't quite that good. Again, I don't know because I wasn't there, but it definitely is not that way today. The younger generations often hear about how great it was then, and we also hear how bad things are by comparison today. We're lucky if we get one Bible study or even really one person opening the door after knocking on 100 doors. There's definitely no cake and no tea, and gospel meetings are lucky to get one or two visitors. Are things worse now than they were back in the good old days, or just different? Are there any reasons to be optimistic? I believe there are, and not only that, I think that there are a lot of reasons to think that today is the best time in the history of history to be part of the Lord's church in regards to growth and evangelism. I want to show you exactly why. But first, let's admit that things are certainly not what they used to be, and I think that that is okay. The scripture that we just looked at in Acts chapter 2, this is the beginning of the Lord's church. The growth rate was not just 100%, not even 1,000%. They went from about 120 disciples to over 3,000 disciples in a matter of minutes. And if my napkin math is correct, that's about 2,500% growth in less than a single day. You know, the 40s and 50s, I don't think even they were that good. So things have always been changing in the history of the Lord's church for the past 2,000 years. That is not new. It would be really cool to be able to do miracles and to heal people and whatnot to grow the church. You know, you go to somebody, hey, would you like to come with me to worship on Sunday? They say, no, you know, I'm sick and my leg, and just zap, you know, you're better. What's your excuse now? Or, you know, come on over, right? That'd be pretty good. You know, I'm sure we would be able to pack a lot more people in here if we could do that. And it would be great that if there were so much interest that with a single gospel sermon, we can stand up anywhere in the street and start preaching and have 3,000 baptisms. I don't know what that would be like to experience, but I'm sure it'd be pretty cool. But this was a unique time. People were uniquely prepared for the message in the first century, and there were unique circumstances. Brethren, in the 40s and 50s, they could have sat back and said, you know what? Things aren't just what they used to be back in the day. You could just stand up in the street and get thousands of baptisms with one sermon. They could have said that, but they didn't. Our brethren back in the day didn't say, woe is me. They weren't doom and gloom. They weren't. Now, the situation in the first century, obviously, it couldn't last. It wasn't intended to last, and that's okay again. That doesn't mean that people are no longer interested or that the gospel had lost its power. That just means we have to change our approach. And the entire New Testament is the story of the apostles and other brothers and sisters changing their approach as the situation changed. Again, that is okay. People went wherever people were and communicated with people in ways that made sense to them. At the time, the message never changed, but the approach to presenting that message and how they presented it and where they presented it definitely did change. So brethren in the 40s and 50s, instead of preaching on the street, what did they do? They went door to door, right? Personal Bible studies that way. They advertised gospel meetings in newspapers, because people were buying and reading newspapers back then. I guess a couple people still are, but much, much fewer today than were back then. People were much were home more often. I think a couple weeks ago somebody said air conditioning is what killed people sitting on the front porch, because now we can, you know, we can sit inside and it's nice and cool, but back then in the heat of the summer, you don't want to sit inside without air conditioning, so you sit on the porch, you talk with your neighbors, and things were much more friendly back then. You know, yes, air conditioning has its pluses and minuses, but just because things are different doesn't mean that things are worse. Things are different today, and again, that's okay. Our town square, our newspapers are different now. We have opportunities that that people in the 40s and 50s, and definitely in the first century, couldn't even dream of. There are reasons to be optimistic, and I wanted to share some of those with you today. How many of you have heard of Instagram. All right, everybody in the back row, and then a few others. Okay. Instagram, it's a website, it's an app on your phone or a website where people can post pictures of themselves or their cats or whatever they're eating for dinner. I think it's kind of silly. I've never Instagrammed. That came just a bit after my time. I'm a bit of a Luddite in that way. I don't really care for Instagram. But one brother is using Instagram to spread the gospel, and he's having tremendous success. And this isn't something that existed even 10 years ago, I don't think, much less 60, 70 years ago. So what Instagram is, people can post pictures, but instead of posting, again, pictures of his dogs or cats or whatever, he's posting pictures of the gospel messages on it. So some of them are scriptures like this. Others are a little bit more humorous, memes about God, about the Bible. But he's also posting scriptures that are pertinent to salvation, Acts 22:16. And now, why do you wait? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling upon the name of the Lord. Here's another one, baptism, an appeal to God, reenactment of the sacrifice of Jesus, on and on and on. He's posting things like this, and he's got hundreds of thousands of people looking at this and liking it and commenting and asking questions. He's reaching over 150 countries. Here are just some of the countries that he's having, not only people are seeing, but he's having conversations with people in a number of these countries, in all of these countries and more. And some of those you'll notice that are in yellow or red. And those there's an organization that ranks countries by difficulty or danger of Christians to preach in. And the ones in yellow and red, like China, Iraq, Iran, Egypt, these are countries that Christians do not want to go to, or else they might be jailed or worse. But these are countries where he's able to reach, because the internet goes pretty much everywhere these days. Over 150 countries he's able to reach. So not only does he post pictures, he also does video. He will sit there and do a live video and preach about, this one was understanding baptism, who, what, when, where, and why. And he had a number of people watching, hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people watching who are not members of the Lord's church and they're interested. And if you see on the picture, there's a bunch of hearts. That means people are liking what he's saying. That's what that means, at least that's what I think it means. And there's thumbs up and all sorts of stuff going on there. Now here's some of the conversations that he's having. So somebody sends him a message. He says, hey, I have a quick question. I've always accepted Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, even as a child. I believe in Jesus and try to repent of my sins almost every day, praying to God. I was baptized as a child, though, and I was wondering if I would have to be baptized again as an adult. Isn't that a great question? He will get people from India not only saying that kind of thing, but saying, well, who is Jesus? Wow, great questions. Here's some more. Someone else says, I live in the Bronx. I realize that my parents did out of good faith, he was baptized as a child. It's too small for me to read. You get the point. He's having a lot of good, really good conversations. Here's another one. It says, hey, I read through some of this. He posted some sermon notes. Somebody else says, hey, I read through some of this, and I know I was baptized as a baby, but never made the conscious decision. I want to know. And I want to now. Does the Bible say I need a priest to baptize me? Can I do it myself? What are the Bible's thoughts on this? You know, these are real Bible studies, real conversations that this guy is having through Instagram, something that most people treat as a frivolous thing, but this is a tool to spread the gospel, and it's a wonderful thing that's happening that couldn't have possibly happened years ago. Here's a new brother in Christ, Chance Howard. He's living in L.A. He was going to a megachurch, and he saw a video on baptism, and he contacted this brother and asked if he knew anyone who could baptize him. So they talked for an hour and a half. There's a screenshot of the phone. He talked for over an hour and a half, and so Chance said, okay, I want you to come over here and baptize me. So he said, well, it's like 2,000 miles away. I'm not going to drive over there, but let me get you in contact with someone who can. So he found a congregation nearby, and we have a new brother in Christ, Chance Howard. And he's extremely faithful. He goes every time the doors are open. He even goes an hour early on Wednesdays so that he can sit with the preacher and study and absorb as much as he can, even before a Bible study. And he started making coffee dates with all the people he knew from the denomination that he used to attend with, and he started teaching them the truth as well. Here's another man. This is a dentist that heard what Chance was doing, and he said, hey, I want to be baptized as well. How much does it cost? He said, well, it doesn't cost anything, but you should count the cost before you become a Christian. And he did. And there he is, Chance and Dr. Jeff Main. Here's a couple. This is Jeff and Jenilyn Alfonso, and they live in Doha, Qatar. How would you like to try to evangelize in Qatar? I would not. But Jeff's found some of these videos online through Instagram, and he watched with his Bible in his hand to check out what was being taught against the Word. Jeff was also able to study with some brethren one-on-one from thousands of miles away, and were able to connect him with a congregation of the Lord's Church in Doha, Qatar, where he was baptized into Christ. Did you know there's a congregation of the Lord's Church in Doha, Qatar? He says, "Thank you, brothers. I am home. I'm so glad to meet a new family, and I'm so happy and thankful that our Lord showed me the way before it was too late for me. May God bless you more, brothers." It's a beautiful thing. After Jeff's baptism, here's a picture of his girlfriend there. After Jeff's baptism, he began sharing the gospel to his girlfriend, Jenilyn, with videos online. And he had Bible studies with a local congregation soon. She also was baptized into Christ. We're excited that they're engaged to be married now. Here's another brother, Andrew Zakwa in Australia. "You have no idea," he says, "but God has used you to put me on the right track. Your preaching on marriage, divorce, and remarriage is what saved me." Can you believe that? That was a shocker to me. "And through you, I was able to find World Voodoo Bible School and study for more understanding of the Word of God. I've been baptized now in worship with the Windsor Church of Christ in Australia. Thank you very much and continue in the good work." This is a brother in Christ in Australia. Here's a couple in Norway, Henriette and Michael Woodcock. Henriette saw an Instagram video on the New Testament church and the plan of salvation. She reached out and expressed her interest in being baptized like they were in the Bible. And after some study with her and her husband, they were baptized into Christ in Kvinesdal, Norway. I don't know if I said that right, but it's somewhere in Norway. She was then connected with members of the church in Oslo, which I think is like 6 hours away. So if you're interested in planning a church, Norway might be a good place. And they've been studying with them to help grow their faith and learn more about their new life in Christ. Tens of thousands of people are being reached with a gospel message that was not possible just a few years ago. Hundreds and hundreds of Bible studies are happening, and souls are being saved, and this brother didn't even have to get out in sweat and walk down the sidewalk and knock on doors and have nobody home. Not to say that door knocking isn't helpful, it is, but there's ways that we can do things today that wasn't even possible just a few years ago. Here's another brother in Christ in Atlanta because of these Instagram chats that he had. Here's another one. There's also Facebook and YouTube. There's tons and tons more examples, but for the sake of time, we'll skip past some of those. Facebook and YouTube, I'm not going to spend too much time here because it's relatively similar to Instagram. YouTube is for videos. Facebook is more for other things. Some people just don't really like Instagram. Some people are more on YouTube, and some people are more on Facebook. Some brethren recorded themselves talking about baptism again, and here's the video. Answering the error, "Do I have to be baptized in order to be saved?" So basically, they were watching a video made by some Baptist folks, and then they responded to that video. And they had a very nice conversation, and this was a video that was an hour long, and they posted it on Facebook. And I think they paid like $25 to advertise to promote this on Facebook. And they got about 5,000 people to watch it. 5,000 people clicked on this video. And of those, I believe somewhere in the neighborhood of 971 or so people watched the whole thing all the way to the end. And it's an hour-long video on baptism. It's a beautiful thing, just for a few dollars and a few seconds of time to just click a button and put it up on YouTube. Things that were not possible just a few years ago. With the technology that we have today, we can reach people faster and more inexpensively than ever before. In the first century, you might think they had it great, but if they wanted to go somewhere, they had to walk, or they're taking a boat for a week. But here, we can fly somewhere and be there in the same day. Or we can digitally talk to somebody, 3,000 miles away very easily. Here's another one, house to house. Often when we do door knocking, we're limited to only a few dozen houses before we get tired. Or some communities, they're gated, they don't let you in. Or most often, many people just aren't home. And even the houses that we do visit, we might only visit once a year because it's so labor intensive. House to House solves many of these problems. They have a small magazine, a little mailer that they send out every month. And mail gets delivered to every house, even gated communities. And if people aren't home when the mail's delivered, that's okay. This little magazine will sit happily in their mailbox until they come home and pick it up. Most of us don't have that kind of time to wait around until somebody comes home. So this is a beautiful thing. We can reach people in the thousands or even tens of thousands in our community through this. And if they don't read it and they don't like it, that's okay. If they throw it away right when they get inside, that's fine. They'll have another one in the mailbox next month. Reaching out like this takes time, but it works. This lady is Amy Moore. I want to tell you about her. She was converted by a congregation that reached out to her by mailing house to house to her home. She threw them away for 2 years before she read one. And then she read one, and she reread it, and then she started anticipating the next month's arrival and saving them in a binder. And I believe in this picture she's holding the binder in her hands. She felt like someone was finally helping her answer the questions that she had her entire life. After reading several issues cover to cover, she visited the church that was sending it, and now we have a new sister in Christ, Miss Amy Moore. A congregation in Texas called recently, the folks who were mailing these out, they had a baptism from house to house 2 weeks ago, they said. A woman got house to house, and because of that, she visited them. Here's what's special about that. The last time this congregation sent out one of these mailers was in 2007. So, what, 12 years ago? And just recently, just a few months ago, this sister was baptized into Christ. She had been attending faithfully for over a decade because of this, and she is finally added to the church. Even if you sow the seed, you never know when it will produce a harvest. And this is a great thing, even if it's 12 years later, but this certainly can work. It might take time, but it can work. Here's four men, Oscar Graves, Freddie Klein, Joe Wilson, Johnny Royal. They're all now preachers in the Lord's church because of house-to-house, heart-to-heart being mailed to them. Four new preachers. This is Dolores Stocks. She contacted them wanting a study, wanting to study the Bible because of house-to-house mailings. She moved to a new apartment near this congregation's building, which triggered her to be a new mover. She got the first issue. 2 weeks later, she got a postcard. And 2 weeks later, our preacher went the extra mile and took the list and visited her and sent her a personal letter that later made her contact us, and now she's a very faithful sister in Christ for going on 2 years now. This is Carol Hartline. She received a mailing from house to house about a local tent meeting local congregations were conducting. So not only do they send mailers, but you can advertise, hey, we're having a gospel meeting, we're having VBS, we're having this, we're having that. And they will do all the work for us. We don't need to get the lists or do really any of the legwork. They will do it all for us. We just need to be available and willing to talk to the people who come to visit. She visited the local tent meeting, and she attended every night of the revival. She pursued continued Bible studies afterward, and now we have a new sister in Christ. She was baptized for the remission of sins. There's many, many others. One more, I don't have his picture. William Holt, he called the church a little over a month ago because he got house to house in the mail. A member followed up on his phone, called him, and gave him some DVDs so they can study on his own. Back in the day, from what I remember, you'll often hear old-timers talk about the Jewel Miller film strips. And they would have to lug around this machine that projected images on the wall. It's the craziest thing. And then like these big canisters of, you know, ask one of them about it later. But we can now, and those film strips are very, very expensive, we can now print DVDs for less than a dollar and hand them out like candy for free to people, whoever wants them. And that's exactly what they did for our new brother in Christ, William Holt. They gave him some DVDs to watch and study. He studied them, and he said he was doubting his salvation because of what he had learned. They studied with him some more, and tonight, this was a few weeks ago, before he met, he went through the conversion. Someone studied with him the conversion counts in Acts and compared them to what he did, and he was baptized into Christ. To God be the glory. A preacher in Tennessee says, he says this, I can tell you in quantifiable terms that House to House has generated between 15 and 20 Bible studies for us over the past 2 years, four of which are currently ongoing. The best news is that two people have obeyed the gospel through the leads produced by House to House. A third person was also baptized into Christ. He didn't even receive the mailer, but he's best friends with one of the people who did, and then they talked, and then now here we are. What else? We have the congregation here has been doing outreach through the local nursing home for a number of years and has had great success. A number of Bible studies and quite a few people have obeyed the gospel in their golden years, which is especially touching. It's a beautiful thing to know that you're snatching someone out of the fire so close. Another brother in New Zealand, he helps his congregation represent represent themselves in at farmers markets, basically what we would call a farmers market in New Zealand. They set up a booth at a monthly farmers market. This was a particularly cold and windy, rainy day, not particularly good weather, but they had great results. They give out DVDs and tracts and house-to-house magazines, various things. They also give out evangelistic books, but you know, books cost a lot more than some of these other things. So what they do, in order to make sure that they're not wasting them by kind of handing out books to people who may or may not read them, they have a sign, enter to win. And then you can fill out this thing. You tell them what book you're interested in, give them your name and your address. And basically, if you fill out one of these things, if you enter to win, you're basically going to get a book. But you're making they're encouraging people to take that first step to show that they're interested. Here is, at the end, they open up the box, and they got dozens of people asking for more information, asking for this free book. And they say, after a few hours of work, 26 people requested future contact from the church, including 4 requests for personal Bible studies, 4 requests for prayer support, and 2 requests for more information about the church. That would typically take us about a week to, I think a lot more than that. Maybe he's being a little bit kind. That would take us about a week to develop that many contacts door knocking. There's a lot of really great things that are happening today in the Lord's church. You know, I guess people could have done farmers market in the 40s and 50s. I don't know if they really existed back then. Something similar did. But certainly the technological things that exist today is part of the reason why I'm hopeful and why I think that right now is one of, if not the best time to be a member of the Lord's church regarding evangelism. The tools that we have at our disposal are great. I'll give you one more and then we'll wrap it up. Charles Hunt from the Waynesboro Church of Christ reports that he teaches a weekly Bible study class at a prison in their area. He has a Sunday night service for those who have been converted. He has baptized about 25 in prison ministry since December. He teaches them, starts them on Bible courses, and leaves them copies of tracts and other things for them to read between classes. He said prison is the best thing that has ever happened to a lot of them because they have a lot of time to study. And I know personally of one person who started down his journey to becoming a Christian while he was in prison. This is a very good thing. So we're certainly not taking advantage of every opportunity that we have. But there are lots of opportunities. Just because people may or may not be answering their door or looking at the newspaper ads that we might do doesn't mean that people aren't interested. Yes, things are not how they were in the past, but I don't think that's necessarily a bad thing. There's pluses and minuses. We're still surrounded by opportunities, brothers and sisters. So I just want to say that please don't be discouraged. Please don't be discouraged. The gospel is still every bit as powerful today as it was in the first century. There are still people who are interested in hearing about it, and where and how we reach them might change, but that's nothing new. That's nothing new. That's been the case for all the whole history of the church. There were people who didn't want to hear it in the first century. There were people who didn't want to hear it in the 40s and 50s in the good old days or any time period. There's people who don't want to hear it now. But in every period of time, there have been people who are interested and people who want to hear it, and people who need to hear it, certainly. It's always been the case that there are some who are interested. It's not all doom and gloom. And I hope that you don't get out of this that, oh, now I have to go learn Instagram, now I have to get a new phone so I can... No, you don't have to do that. You know, if you want to, more power to you. If you do it, you'll probably get more Bible studies than you know what to do with. Or you don't have to do a prison ministry, obviously. That's for some people. You don't have knock on doors. But whatever you do, do something. There are opportunities, particularly if you're creative. There's people out there who are still eager to hear God's word. Let us not only be ready to take advantage of whatever opportunities God sends our way, but let's also create opportunities for ourselves that we might not have otherwise. I hope this bit has been encouraging for you. I know it's encouraging to me. This is only the tip of the iceberg in terms of what our brothers and sisters are doing today. There are still many places in the world that you can basically drop a tract on the ground and a church will spring up right there. Not literally, but essentially, there are places where you can just preach somewhere in the street and you can get a number of Bible studies that way. It's not that way here. We do have to do different things, but that is okay. I want us to be encouraged that things are not all doom and gloom. The outlook for the Lord's church, the outlook for truth is positive. And I've never been more excited than I am today about evangelizing and all the opportunities that we do have. If you have not been as faithful as you possibly could have been, I guess that includes all of us. Or if you would like the prayers of the church, if you have any sin that you need to repent of, or if you're not a member of the Lord's church, and you know what you need to do in order to be part of the church, we ask that you please let us know. If there's anything that we can do to help you in regards to this, would you please let us know as we right now together stand and sing for your encouragement.